Thursday, July 9th, 1942. Dearest Kitty, so there we were, father, mother, and I, walking in the pouring rain, each of us with a school bag and a shopping bag filled to the brim with the most varied assortment of items. The people on their way to work at that early hour gave us sympathetic looks. You could tell by their faces that they were sorry they couldn't offer us some kind of transportation. The conspicuous yellow star spoke for itself. Only when we were walking down the street did father and mother reveal, little by little, what the plan was. For months, we'd been moving as much of our furniture and apparel out of the apartment as we could. It was agreed that we'd go into hiding on July 16th. Because of Margot's call-up notice, the plan had to be moved up 10 days, which meant we'd have to make do with less orderly rooms. The hiding place was located in Father's office building. That's a little hard for outsiders to understand, so I'll explain. Father didn't have a lot of people working in his office, just Mr. Kugler, Mr. Kleiman, Meep, and a 23-year-old typist named Bep Foskel, all of whom were informed of our coming. Mr. Foskel, Bep's father, works in the warehouse, along with two assistants, none of whom were told anything. Here's a description of the building. The large warehouse on the ground floor is used as a workroom and storeroom and is divided into several different sections, such as the stockroom and the milling room, where cinnamon, cloves, and a pepper substitute are ground. Next to the warehouse doors is another outside door, a separate entrance to the office. Just inside the office door is a second door, and beyond that, a stairway. At the top of the stairs is another door with a frosted window on which the word office is written in black letters. This is the big front office, very large, very light, and very full. Bep, Meep, and Mr. Kleiman work there during the day. After passing through an alcove containing a safe, a wardrobe, and a big supply cupboard, you come to the small, dark, stuffy back office. This used to be shared by Mr. Kugler and Mr. Van Dan, but now Mr. Kugler is its only occupant. Mr. Kugler's office can also be reached from the hallway, but only through a glass door that can be opened from the inside, but not easily from the outside. If you leave Mr. Kugler's office and proceed through the long, narrow hallway, past the coal bin, and go up four steps, you find yourself in the private office, the showpiece of the entire building. Elegant mahogany furniture, a linoleum floor covered with throw rugs, a radio, a fancy lamp, everything first class. Next door is a spacious kitchen with a hot water heater and two gas burners, and beside that a bathroom. That's the second floor. A wooden staircase leads from the downstairs hallway to the third floor. At the top of the stairs is a landing with doors on either side. The door on the left takes you up to the spice storage area, attic, and loft in the front part of the house. A typically Dutch, very steep, ankle-twisting flight of stairs also runs from the front part of the house to another door opening onto the street. The door to the right of the landing leads to this secret annex at the back of the house. No one would ever suspect there were so many rooms behind that plain gray door. There's just one small step in front of the door, and then you're inside. Straight ahead of you is a steep flight of stairs. To the left is a narrow hallway opening onto a room that serves as the Frank family's living room and bedroom. Next door is a smaller room, the bedroom and study of the two young ladies of the family. To the right of the stairs is a windowless washroom with a sink. The door in the corner leads to the toilet and another one to Margot's and my room. If you go up the stairs and open the door at the top, you're surprised to see such a large, light, and spacious room in an old canal-side house like this. It contains a stove, thanks to the fact that it used to be Mr. Kugler's laboratory, and a sink. This will be the kitchen and bedroom of Mr. and Mrs. Van Dan, as well as the general living room, dining room, and study for us all. A tiny side room is to be Peter Van Dan's bedroom. Then, just as in the front part of the building, there's an attic and a loft. So there you are. Now I've introduced you to the whole of our lovely annex. Yours, Anne. Friday, July 10th, 1942. Dearest Kitty, I've probably bored you with my long description of our house, but I still think you should know where I've ended up. How I ended up here is something you'll figure out from my next letters. But first, let me continue my story, because as you know, I wasn't finished. After we arrived at 263 Prinsengracht, Meep quickly led us through the long hallway and up the wooden staircase to the next floor and into the annex. She shut the door behind us, leaving us alone. Margot had arrived much earlier on her bike and was waiting for us. Our living room and all the other rooms were so full of stuff that I can't find the words to describe it. All the cardboard boxes that had been sent to the office in the last few months were piled on the floors and beds. The small room was filled from floor to ceiling with linens. If we wanted to sleep in properly made beds that night, we had to get going and straighten up the mess. Mother and Margot were unable to move a muscle. They lay down on their bare mattresses, tired, miserable, and I don't know what else. But Father and I, the two cleaner-uppers in the family, started in right away. All day long, we unpacked boxes, filled cupboards, hammered nails, and straightened up the mess until we fell exhausted into our clean beds at night. We hadn't eaten a hot meal all day, but we didn't care. Mother and Margot were too tired and keyed up to eat, and Father and I were too busy. Tuesday morning, we started where we left off the night before. Bep and Meep went grocery shopping with our ration coupons. Father worked on our blackout screens. We scrubbed the kitchen floor and were once again busy from sunup to sundown. Until Wednesday, I didn't have a chance to think about the enormous change in my life. Then, for the first time since our arrival in the secret annex, I found a moment to tell you all about it and to realize what had happened to me and what was yet to happen. Yours, Anne.